Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Greetings and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. On today's podcast, we're going to talk about articles that have been published since The Myth of Junk DNA came out, which confirmed Jonathan Wells' thesis. In The Myth of Junk DNA, Jonathan Wells predicted that, quote, assuming any feature of an organism has no function discourages further investigation. In this respect, the myth of junk DNA has become a science stopper, unquote. Well, recently published literature has confirmed Jonathan Wells' thesis, and evolutionary scientists who cling to the myth of junk DNA are being refuted by continual research publications. For example, in May 2011, an article in the journal RNA reported functions for pseudogenes, stating, quote, pseudogenes have long been labeled as junk DNA, failed copies of genes that arise during the evolution of genomes. However, recent results are challenging this moniker. Indeed, some pseudogenes appear to harbor the potential to regulate their protein-coding cousins. Far from being silent relics, many pseudogenes are transcribed into RNA, some exhibiting a tissue-specific pattern of activation. Pseudogene transcripts can be processed into short interfering RNAs that regulate coding genes through RNAi pathway. In another remarkable discovery, it has been shown that pseudogenes are capable of regulating tumor suppressors and oncogenes by acting as microRNA decoys. The finding that pseudogenes are often deregulated during cancer progression warrants further investigation into the true extent of pseudogene function. In this view, we describe the ways in which pseudogenes exert their influence on coding genes and explore the role of pseudogenes in the increasingly complex web of non-coding RNA that contributes to normal cellular regulation. Unquote. So if we listen to what this article is saying, a failure to seek out the functions of pseudogenes may actually be hindering our understanding of what causes cancer. Another May 2011 paper from the Journal of Virology warned against presuming non-functionality for repetitive elements, including endogenous retroviral elements in DNA, stating, quote, mammalian retrotransposons, transposable elements that are processed through an RNA intermediate, are categorized as short interspersed elements, or signs, long interspersed elements, lines, and long terminal repeat LTR retroelements, which include endogenous retroviruses. The ability of transposable elements to autonomously amplify led to their initial characterization as self or junk DNA. However, it is now known that they may acquire specific cellular functions in a genome and are implicated in host defense mechanisms, unquote. The paper went on to report expression patterns that hint at function for kangaroo endogenous retroviruses, or KERVs, stating, quote, KERVs sequence conservation, continued expression, localization of centromeres, breaks of syntony, and nearly ubiquitous distribution in the marsupial clades set it apart from previously observed ERVs, unquote. Some late 2010 articles also note the failure of the junk DNA concept. One paper noted that it's no longer appropriate to call repetitive DNA junk DNA, stating, quote, high-throughput sequencing of eukaryotic genomes has revived interest in the structure and function of repetitive genomic sequences, previously referred to as junk DNA. Repetitive sequences, including transposable elements, are now believed to play a significant role in genomic differentiation and evolution, unquote. Of course, by saying they play a role in evolution, what the paper simply means is that repetitive sequences perform useful functions that would be favored by natural selection. The article goes on to note, quote, these repetitive regions comprise greater than 70% of genomes and are often referred to as junk DNA. With the advent of high-throughput DNA sequencing, it has become apparent that transposable elements constitute a large proportion of the repetitive DNA component of most eukaryotic genomes. That is, at least 45% of the human genome and 50 to 80% of some grass genomes. A substantial proportion of the genome is expressed as regulatory non-coding RNAs, some of which are reconstructed from transposable elements, unquote. Thus, huge portions of the human, grass, and other genomes cannot be understood without studying the functions of this non-coding repetitive DNA. Another paper from the journal Biosystems in 2010 similarly found, quote, genomic transposable elements, or transposons, are sequences of DNA that can move to different portions in the genome. In the process, they can cause chromosomal rearrangements and changes in gene expression. Despite their prevalence in the genomes of many species, their function is largely unknown. For this reason, they have been labeled junk DNA. This paper presents a novel hypothesis on the biological role of transposons, according to which transposition in somatic cells during development drives cellular differentiation and transposition in germ cells is an indispensable tool to boost evolution. Thus, transposable elements, far from being junk, have one of the most important roles in multicellular biology, unquote. The article goes further, stating, quote, transposons represent a large genomic fraction, 30 to 40% in mammals. Such amount of seemingly useless material initially led researchers to call it junk DNA, until further research hinted that it could in fact have a biological role, unquote. Thus, those who presumed that non-coding DNA is junk might have missed 30 to 40% of mammalian DNA, which performs, quote, one of the most important roles in biology, unquote. Talk about stopping science. Finally, another paper from the latter half of 2010 in the journal Clinical Chemistry studied functions for junk DNA and suggested they might have important medical applications, stating, quote, what was once considered junk DNA now holds the keys to many novel gene regulatory mechanisms, and genetic variation within these regions likely accounts for a major portion of disease susceptibility. Until recently, the biochemical mechanisms linking non-coding DNA, which does not encode any proteins, to the pathogenesis of disease were largely unknown. But there has been a torrent of new information in this field that has the prospect of changing how we diagnose and treat patients, unquote. Since non-coding DNA has important functions, a failure to seek function for junk DNA could cause medical researchers to miss important causes of diseases. This paper suggests that studying the functions of non-coding DNA could help us understand the causes of cardiovascular diseases. The list of similar papers could go on, but the bottom line is this. Whether we're talking about pseudogenes, endogenous retroviruses or ERVs, transposons, or other repetitive elements, the presumption that non-coding DNA is junk hinders biological and medical research from moving forward. I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2010. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.